Sunday morning. This is Mike Sirig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday, and happy 4th of July weekend. I hope this time finds you at a good place. You're enjoying the weekend and just having a great time with family and just all the things that occur with the July 4th weekend itself. And most of all, that's here. Everybody is being safe out there. But this morning, before we we're getting ready to start a new teaching series. But before we start, I want to bring you up to date with a few things, events that are coming up that I would encourage you to participate in, and something that I think is going to be really, really an encouraging way. Coming up, if you're longing for simplicity and how things used to be, you ever thought about that question before? Are you longing for simplicity and how things used to be? Well, I want to encourage you to come and join us for a Vital gathering this coming Sunday night at 5 p.m. at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Everyone is welcome. We will start serving food at 5 o'clock. Enjoy great music and teaching on topics that concern faith and following a fellowship afterwards. A great event for the whole family. And again, it's at Debbie's Celebration Barn, coming this July 14th at Debbie's Celebration Barn at 5 o'clock. You can get more of that information if you go to vitalministries.org and see all the details that will help you for that event that's coming. Also, too, on July 21st, 7 to 8 o'clock, we are having donuts and devos at the Vital Ministries building. We are at 116 A Avenue East, across the street from the First Christian Church, a men's fellowship of going deeper. So I encourage you about that, July 21st, 7 to 8 o'clock, donuts and a devo. You know, oftentimes you guys hear me talk about the different things about Vital Ministries is sending out devotionals, and we do that at 6 days a week, and just some encouraging thing, both men and women. But this past Friday, one of our writers wrote something exceptional. I think it's something that that is worth reading this morning before we get in, because it goes right into our teaching of having freedom with God the Father himself. And this is what the writer wrote for us today. And he says this. He says, "Give me liberty." He already did. From the first breath he breathed into Adam, created his image with mind and the capacity of his own choices. With liberty, we are created. We chose death. That's right, liberty, free will. Adam chose sin, and death entered into the world. I believe in American exceptionalism. I do, not because Americans are exceptional, but I believe Americans are exceptional because the men of the colonial time of America knew this, and they were willing to act in the knowledge that God blessed their understanding. Our founding fathers had solid grasp on the divine source of liberty and the importance of its preservation. On July 4, 1776, the Second Continental Congress and our fathers adopted the Declaration of Independence. The second sentence has resonated through this country and this world ever since. It states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness endowed by their Creator." War with England had already begun over a year prior to the ratification of the Declaration of Independence. On March 23, 1775, in a speech to the Virginia Convention, Patrick Henry stands and proclaims, "Give me liberty or give me death." It's quite a quote, and inspiring today as it was then. Those men believed in God's sovereignty, his justice, and the liberty with the divine gift. In liberty, they chose sacrifice of self and others for a greater purpose. A godly mission for God's love. God's reply, liberty. Over the past few years, I've been contemplating this, the idea of liberty, of death, from a Christian perspective. God granted liberty to us, but we chose and continue to choose death. From the beginning, God chose to create us in the image, breathe life into us to allow a liberty and a mind of our own. We allowed us to have freedom to think and do as we please. Why? The only rationalization I can come up with is love. He is love, the ultimate embodiment of it. He wanted someone to love and someone to love him in return. And the only way that love can be true and powerful is that it is chosen. It has been freely given. He knew the pain this liberty would produce, but it was worth the price paying for it with the greatest reward of love. So God grants us liberty, which I gladly accept. Next thing I choose is life, Jesus Christ. I choose to accept His great gifts of grace and love. I choose to receive His salvation. I choose life. And finally, casting the broad blanket, I will exercise the liberty He breathes and chooses to show God in the world that He loves, so He wants us to deserve. I love to serve something greater than myself. With liberty, I choose love. What an exceptional writing that was done, because, you know, today as we jump in the teaching series, it's a launch from July, the freedom in Christ. It goes along with our nation's observance again with the freedom and the holiday that we've experienced this weekend on July the 4th. This week we've observed parades, fireworks, picnics, barbecues, and baseball games. Our nation is 243 years old since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. In that independence, we find five men who were placed on a committee who drafted this declaration. John Adams, representation of Massachusetts, and our second president. Thomas Jefferson, a representative of Virginia, and the third president. Benjamin Franklin, representative of Pennsylvania, and our first U.S. minister to France. Roger Sherman, representative of Connecticut, who was the only person to sign the papers of the Continental Association, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution. Robert Livingston, representative of New York, and he negotiated the Louisiana Purchase. Five men with incredible vision. It's those five men who presented the Declaration of Independence to the General Congress all over the count of taxation without representation. 13 colonies believed that they had their own right to be a free nation, not under the bondage of Great Britain. No, that the turn of events set things into a nation where battles were fought, lives were lost, and the price of freedom, which we enjoy today, was paid with an incredible price. See, folks, freedom comes with a price. I like this verse that comes from Psalms 33, verse 12. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people has chosen and His inheritance. See, folks, the signers of the Declaration of Independence were God-fearing men, profoundly intelligent, religious, and ethically minded. Four of the signers were full-time preachers. Many were clergymen. Now, nowhere do we see the signers in anywhere on the Declaration of Independence were nowhere, no way, agnostic, nor were they atheists. They understood freedom because they served a God of freedom. These were men of providence. You see, folks, as we celebrate freedom, we also have to realize that God the Father predestined that freedom through His Son, Jesus Christ. My Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that He sent His Son. This great love that He lavished on us. You know, we don't hear that word much in today, but if you look up the word lavish, it means to expending or bestowing profusely, to expend with abundance. Nothing of love is being held back. That's why God sent His Son. He held nothing back, to which the freedom that we not only enjoy as Americans today, but the freedom that we can enjoy in Christ Himself and who we are in our faith. I am fortunate to have one birth son, one son-in-law, and two stepsons. I love those men dearly. I've lavished my love on them to become the men who love God, who seek Him with their whole heart. But God takes any and even greater step. He sends His Son, a Son to die for our sins, so that the sin of the world would be bought and paid for, so that we might have freedom in Jesus Himself. Wow, I don't know about you guys, but that lights me up this morning just to think about the thought that that lavish love was paid with a great price. This should bring chills up and down your back this morning, and I want us to go to the Bible this morning, to 1 John chapter 3, and I want for us to understand today the concept of the Father's God, of how He loves us, and how we can have freedom with Him. So I hope today, as you're driving down the highway and you're just enjoying the time together, and as you're traveling maybe back home and you're pulling a camper, I just pray that today that you will experience this exceptional love. Or maybe you're still on a boat and you're listening today. I pray that today that God's providential will and the Holy Spirit will speak to you right where you're at. Or if you're traveling to church, we thank you for listening. Or maybe that you're sitting at home. Open up your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. My point number one is this: we are children of God. 1 John 3:1 says this: See how much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. See, John wants his reader to know that God the Father calls the children of God His children. His love is so great that He bestowed profusely His love that He sent His Son. God wants us to live with Him in heaven. Did you hear me on that? God wants us to live with Him in heaven. That our freedom was purchased with a great price, with nothing held back. That the expression of His love is done by God's grace, and it's by grace that we are saved. Freedom was purchased by the blood of His Son, Jesus. Now, you're going to keep hearing me repeat that often this morning, but I want us to get it, to understand the price that was paid so that we can have freedom with God the Father, but it was purchased through His Son, Jesus. I love the old preacher, Billy Graham. If you look at a majority of all of his teachings, what a great preacher he was. But he always preached about Jesus Christ and having freedom in Him. That it was a direct bridge from Jesus Christ that we could cross to get to the Father. See, folks, we see in the Old Testament the price of freedom was purchased by the blood of animals. Sacrifices were made by their lives. I don't believe God ever intended it to be that way because of the sin of Adam and Eve that God killed an animal. As a matter of fact, it says the first killing, the first sacrifice is found in Genesis chapter 3, 21. And the Lord made clothing for the animal skins for Adam and Eve. The first clothing came through a sacrifice to cover up their nakedness, so the sacrifice of animals began. And since then, it's been all really messy. But let's keep going as we read. I want you to continue to be in 1 John, but I want you to go to chapter 2, verse 5. It says this, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we are living for Him." Now here's the key to that verse. We know the Father lavished on us so much by sending Jesus to show His graceful love, but this is our part, is to obey the word, obey the Bible. That we don't have to, but simply follow the commandments out of obligation, but out of love for Him. That's our part. Do you get that? It's not out of obligation that we read the Bible. It's out of love that we do. Too often I hear Christians say, well, I have to do this or I have to do that. Instead of the love that was given from the Father, we don't do it out of obligation, folks, but we do it because we love God Himself through His Son, Jesus. See, I don't believe God forces His love or our commitments on us. He is patient and long-suffering. My Bible says this in 1 Peter 3:20. Those who obeyed God long ago, when God waited patiently while Noah was building the boat, only 8 people were saved from the drowning in this terrible flood. Long-suffering is God's mercy, folks. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. People knew that something might happen, yet they continued to live in their rebellious ways. God was showing something. A great thing was about to happen. Things that were going to change everything about the world. See, folks, John shows us God's love to the Father and His children. I am both an earthly father and a grandfather, and I love my family supremely. I would lay down my life for any one of those people in my family. It's out of my love that gives me what I want to do for my family. Nothing held back, no condition. See, God does it even bigger. He is waiting for every last man and woman to come to His Son and call Him Lord. Only a father of such grace would do that. He loves His children and calls us to be different than the world itself. See, folks, we should look different. We should look different than how things are, and our love should be so great for other people that what happens is people come up and ask you that there's something different about you, and you get an opportunity to share about your faith. See, this brings us to our second point this morning, and point number two is this. God calls us heirs. If you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 17, and it says this, "And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share in his glory, we share also in his suffering. See, God makes us heirs because of his Son and our salvation. We are now family. We don't follow our birth order or follow the way of birth itself. We don't have to be people in front of us or behind us. We are heirs because of Christ. Oftentimes you see people wanting position because of a family member or of importance. You see at times in a family who owns companies. The father of the business goes and a worker, and they work hard and they create a company, and it becomes extremely successful. Then you will see his offspring, his heirs. Sometimes you can see their entitlement, wanting the importance of being in the business itself or the position because they are the fathers or the daughters of the man or the woman who created the business. I have a friend of mine who is an heir to a major company in our area, a great man of God. His father built a company from the ground up, a hardworking, hands-on man who produced a great product and produced great amount of jobs for the people in that community. Matter of fact, if that company was to dissipate or to leave, it would create a devastation in our economy right locally where we live. Now, my friend who is the heir knows that he wasn't designed like his father. Matter of fact, I would say he couldn't build or even design anything that his company does. Yet, this was his role as an heir to that company. This man he brings into the company, healthcare to his company. He hired people from the industry to keep the wellness and the physical portion of his company so that people would get taken care of physically and also too medically. That was his portion of the company that his dad created. Matter of fact, this man takes it a step further. Their family has the very foundations of the company were built on biblical beliefs. They were founded on it. This man has placed chaplains in his dad's company. Men and women who are chaplains take care of people in their faith, even to the extent of those who don't believe in God himself. See, he loves the people who work for his company that his dad built, a humble heir who didn't work out of entitlement, but out of making a difference in his leadership. He is patient with his people in hopes that they would come to know Christ. Folks, I don't know about you, but I love this. I love how this heir has taken what his dad had built to another level without entitlement. So yet, folks, God doesn't look at it being even greater. Matter of fact, if you look at John 1:12, it says this, "But all who believe in him and accept in him, he gave the right to become children of God." Folks, it's so easy to be an heir to God and have freedom in him. All you have to do is to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? Asking him to be your savior. I remember when I bought my first Harley, and I'll never forget this. I went to the Big Barn Harley Davidson in Des Moines. I bought a 1200 Sportster. I always wanted a Harley, and my wife was behind the purchase, so we did it. When I was talking to the salesman, he kept reminding me how I was going to become a member of the Harley family. I could even become a hog member. All I have to do is to accept the purchase of the price of the bike, and I was part of the family. Now, here's something cool. When you buy a bike at the barn, you get to ring what they call a freedom bell. You are now a free member of the Harley-Davidson family. But all you have to do is accept the purchase of the bike. When I said that, he took me over to what they call the freedom bell. I grabbed the rope and I rang the bell and they shot confetti and everyone in the place came that worked there and shook my hand. Folks, I have to tell you, it was a rush in the moment. I think coming to Jesus and asking forgiveness should be something like that. I like what it says in Luke 15:10. We get a glimpse of what goes on in heaven when someone comes to Christ. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Don't you love that? There's a party that goes on when people come to know Jesus. Folks, you can have that freedom ringing that bell in Christ. In my mind, at church, we should all have freedom bells that come that's in the front. Every time someone comes and asks Jesus to be their Savior, you find freedom. Confetti is blown. People are on their feet clapping. A new air has come home. And I praise Jesus for the day that He saved me. I once was blind, but now I see. Which brings us to point number three this morning. We are God's new creation. I love this verse. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Other translation says a new creation. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Isn't that exciting this morning? Man, I love this verse in itself, and what it says is incredible. It's like writing something on a chalkboard. It's writing up every mess, every screw up, every mistake, every failure, you name it, and you write it on the board, only to have God Himself wipe it clean through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blackboard is there again. The chalkboard with no writing is on it. See, folks, I remember as a boy when I had chalkboards at school, and the teacher was always writing information on the board. Now, I got to be honest, I'm actually dating myself, but that's okay. Then there was the right hand, the right corner of the board, a place for names. It was used as punishment if you had misbehaved or you simply messed up. No one wanted their name on the board, on the chalkboard. Well, on occasion, in truth, I had my name on the board, and sometimes multiple times, my name went on that board. I would either have to miss recess or redo an assignment or whatever you might have to be done. Man, I hated seeing my name on that board. I would go in anguish over seeing it. It was terrible. Then at times you would have to go home and tell your parents why your name was written on the board. But here's the bright spot. Your name was erased the next morning. New slate, no condemnation, no penalty. Recess was back on, and I worked hard not to get my name on that board. Folks, God provided a way that He lavished on us through His Son. No longer are we called sinners, but we are children in the family of God itself. We are members. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. The Father made a way to find true freedom in Him. To get to the Father, folks, you have to go through the Son. God wanted us to experience freedom from sin, freedom from being religious, freedom from the chains of this world. You can today experience freedom with God the Father, and it happens through His Son, Jesus. Do you want to experience that freedom this morning, folks? It's so easy. All you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I find it so interesting as we look at this freedom that we can truly have with God the Father, and we try to make it bigger than what it truly is. Yes, it was bought and purchased with the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without a doubt, that is, without an exception, a big deal. But what in the freedom of God are you missing? Too often, people feel like God the Father is out to get you. He's out to get at you when you ever make a mistake. Matter of fact, I think people actually think that God wants to send people to hell, and I do not believe that, and that is a lie from hell itself. But what I do believe, folks, is that we serve a God who lavished on us so much that He sent His Son. That He knew there had to be a sacrifice made for us for the penalty of sin from the beginning of Adam and Eve to the time in which we live today in 2019. That something has to be taken care of, that sin, and only by blood can that be covered. Folks, God does hate sin. The Father hates sin. But because He loves us, we are the only creation on the planet that we are created in His image. That should show us today. I hope today as you're driving or that you're listening, that you begin to get a glimpse of the power of the love that God has for you this morning. God the Father loves you. He calls us children. He woos us back. And he does it through his Son. Today could be the day that you can truly find the freedom that you're looking for. Yeah, we have celebrated the freedom of the nation of America in which we live. We have incredible freedoms. But we can have an incredible, even greater freedom in knowing who we are as believers in Jesus Christ in order to get to the Father. If that's something this morning that you would like to have, I ask you to pray with me this morning. Dear Father, you are a good, good Father, and you love us so much. You loved us so much that you sent a Son to die for us on a cross. All we have to do, though, that you say in your word, is to come to Jesus and ask him to be our Savior. Ask him to forgive us of our sins, and that the blood that he sacrificed on a cross for us would be covered. And the next thing we got to do is just believe. I believe. I pray that those that are out there listening, Lord, believe that they can find freedom in God the Father through your Son, Jesus, that makes us better people, that makes us to really, truly enjoy that the freedom, not only that our country gives us, but we can have freedom in you. And I thank you, Lord, in your precious holy name. Amen. This month, we're going to continue the series, Freedom in Christ. And matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that next week, how we can truly experience freedom in Jesus Christ himself. And we'll also be talking about it again on July 14th, that Sunday night, at Debbie's Celebration Barn. Folks, please don't miss out on this event. It's at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a great time of fellowship in the presence of the Holy Spirit, being in the presence of God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we're asked Jesus to be there as well, and I know he will be. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for listening to Vital Ministries. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.